your feet. You're not wrong. The Supreme Court's been changing the rules, moving the goalposts, making it harder and harder for federal government agencies to regulate. And when you hear the word regulation, everybody, I want you to think regulations are for regular people. They're designed to protect regular people. That's what they're there for. If you are super rich, you'll always have clean air and water and a penis rocket to the moon. It's regular people who need regulations. That's what they're there for. The Supreme Court on an attack mission to strip regulatory agencies of their authority and put non-expert partisan judges crammed onto the courts by Donald Trump. Corrupt though they may be, that is the state of play. My special guest helping us break all of that down, he's Devin Umbra, Senior Director for Courts and Legal Policy for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And I've got to have him back because he also was senior counsel to Jamie Raskin. We're going to schedule one show just to talk about that, Devin. Perhaps like after the election, when the big lie 2.0 is happening, we'll have you come back and we'll talk about that. But today I wanted us to talk a little bit, Devin, about what we should be doing to reform the court. There are lots of proposals that get floated out there. I wanted to see what's top of your mind. And folks, if you got a question for Devin, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. What should we be asking Congress do to rein in the Supreme Court?
So I'm going to put on my politician hat and lay out my four-point plan for court reform. We need 18-year term limits that are engaged in prospectively, not retrospectively. As much as I would like to kick Clarence Thomas off the court tomorrow, there's a lot of concerns that that is unconstitutional because it changes the terms of how the appointments occurred. However, doing it statutorily, prospectively, is completely constitutional and within the confines of what Congress can do. Two, ethics. Because I think you started out talking about the EPA and Chevron doctrine. It was Neil Gorsuch's mom who was appointed by Ronald Reagan to destroy the EPA, and her son gets to finish the job a little while down the line. So we need ethics, enforceable ethics, because Sam Alito should not be hanging out with white Christian nationalist German princesses at their not 500 room palaces and attending music festivals that they put on. Just probably one of those things shouldn't be allowed, because we can talk about what Clarence and Sam have done a long time ago. I'm pretty sure Alito did that last year. That's not a good look for anybody. Three, transparency. Today, the Supreme Court said that the Texas law, or the Biden efforts to stop Texas from getting federal funds while they were enforcing anti-abortion provisions, turning women away who are having real health issues. Women have been dying because they can't get abortions timely because of whatever is happening. That should also include things like how they vote and give us a reason as to why you're doing these things. And last but not least, court shopping and forum shopping, because we can randomize whoever district judge within the Fifth Circuit is going to get a case. And we're just going to delay the game for the Fifth Circuit to come in over the top with a hammer and issue whatever pro-corporate, pro-Trump ruling that they're going to do. So we need to be able to, when there's cases that involve national rights, to be able to randomize the circuit that it's heard before so it can't immediately go to the Fifth Circuit and take a rocket docket up to the Supreme Court for them to continue stripping our rights away from us.
Couple of things I wanted to emphasize there. You talked about transparency. I've also spent an incredible amount of time dissecting the way that the shadow docket has changed. And for a bunch of justices that claim to be, quote, originalists, there is absolutely nothing about how this Supreme Court wields power via the shadow docket that was ever conceived of by our founding fathers. In fact, this Supreme Court has more power than any Supreme Court before it has ever had. And so when Devin mentions, hey, we need transparency, we need to know how they voted, and we need to require a justification, what Devin's referring to, I believe, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, is the shadow docket. Because when the court is asked to intercede before it receives the case for a final adjudication and full briefing and oral argument, it's called the shadow docket. This is where an appeal is going up before the case in chief has been heard in full at the lower courts. And the Supreme Court is being asked to take some sort of intermediate action to either, most typically, preserve the status quo or protect essential rights. What this court has done is basically wield that power with zero level of consistency. And when you analyze it, as the gentleman, the professor from the University of Texas, has to a great effect, when you analyze that, what you see is a very partisan bend to how this court has interceded and ruled on the shadow docket. So the shadow docket right now does not require the votes of the judges to be recorded, nor does it require any written decisions. That should be a no-brainer. 18-year term limits, duh. A binding ethics code making certain behaviors not legal anymore, that also gets a big old duh. And randomizing the assignment of district court judges when national rights are at issue. I love it when solutions are obvious.
And,
you know?
And all of these are supported by the 70 to 80% of the American people across the political spectrum.
Of course they are, because they're common sense. We need a court that works for us, not for billionaire special interests. Thank you so much to my very special guest, Devin Ombres of the
Center for American Progress Action Fund.
Thank you. It's Monday. My mouth will get moving. Maggie and the Millionaires is up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.